Blog Talk Radio.
Fathers, be good to your daughters, 'cause daughters will love like you do. Girls become lovers who turn into mothers, so mothers, be good to your daughters. The world is black and white, yeah. Try to keep an open mind, but I just can't sleep on this tonight.
Sleep on this tonight.
Oh, stop the train. I wanna get off and go again. I can't take this. I know I can, but honestly, won't someone stop this train? Oh. I don't know how else to say, don't wanna see my parents. One generation's length away from fighting life out on my own. Oh, stop the train. I wanna get off and go home again. I can't take the speed it's moving in. I know.
What's up, everybody? I am your host, Maya, a.k.a. Brown Vintage, and welcome to Brown Vintage Radio Show. That was PJ Morton. That was his new single, Daughter, Stop This Train. I love that song. It just speaks a great message. We're going to go into another song, but this will be a long show tonight. This will be a continuation of a segment that I had last week regarding relationships among African-American women and men. And it stems from Hill Harper's best-selling book called The Conversation. So I'm going to go ahead and get into one more song here by Victor Duplay, who's an awesome, awesome singer. I've been a follower of his music for a couple years now, and he's back with a new single called Electric Love. So here he is with Electric Love. Welcome back, guys. And that was Victor Duplay with Electric Love. That's one of my favorite songs. That's also his new single, Victor Duplay with Electric Love. Like I said before, he's been around for some years now, and I've been following his career for the past couple of years, and I really enjoy his music, and I hope he comes out with some more good stuff. So I would hope people would expect his album to come out very, very soon. So let's jump right into the show. I do have my first guest on the line. So we were definitely waiting. So I would like her to introduce herself, if she would.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, this is Stacy Ann from Atlanta. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, I've already pretty much talked a little bit about what we were going to be discussing prior to the second song that I played. So I'm just, you know, kind of waiting on some more callers. So I've played a couple of songs before I got into the show because we have a long show tonight. It's 2 hours. Well, to be precise, it's 1 hour and 47 minutes right now. So those who are listening, this show will end at 9 o'clock. So I want to just continue our conversation, but I know a lot of the people that were on last week are not on at the moment. Now, who's to say that they don't call in later on in the show, which would be great. But I did want to talk a little bit about just what we kind of left off on last week regarding people's preference. Just among African American men and women, and being in relationships with, you know, with each other, and some of the lack of that people don't ever talk about being in a relationship, which kind of hinders a relationship. And so I know the last time we spoke to a young man, Michael, who called in, and, you know, he talked about his preferences and what matters to him being in a relationship. And we want to get into to dissect this thing and find out from men what are some of their experiences, what they've been through with African-American women. And same for women as well. So Stacy, did you have anything to talk about, or that something that might have been like itching in your brain that you wanted to discuss?
Not per se, but you know, if you have anything that you'll like to discuss, I'm sure I'll have something to add.
Well, if you can recall back from last weekend, what we talked about when we heard from Michael, who was the only male on our show, which I was really, really happy to have him on our show. So for just by some of the things that he said, if you can remember, because I know once we finished that segment, you had a lot to say. So I wanted to see if you might have wanted to kind of bring up or rehash some of the things that we did talk about last week.
Well, there's so much to the subject. It's just a matter of with Michael, I just felt that was just one point of view. There's so many different kinds of men and outlooks out there. I just was looking for us to touch base on some of, you know, not the person that has the right mindset, but the person who, you know, who has been through, you know, dogging women through, you know, the lies and deception, and, you know, to give us an understanding of why exactly does that happen. Is it something that, you know, because is it something we're doing or we're allowing that leads to that point?
That women are doing that maybe allowing them to do things?
Yeah, allowing them to take, are we giving them too much of ourselves to where, you know, they feel that freedom of, well, she's allowing me to do this, this, and this. I'm going to take advantage of the situation.
Right, and I know he did discuss a little bit about that last week. I would definitely like to hear more about that, too. And I think what I really want to get out of having this segment or just even after this show, just going into conversation, having a dialogue with a male, just wanting to know what matters. Because you talk to so many men, and you may not get the full story from them. And I want to just, you know, talk about it with, you know, no holds barred, and just really discuss what matters to them in a relationship. What are some of the things that they will not tolerate? Some of the things that will just drive them to go another way, or some of the things that will make them want to be with that person, or what attracts them to that person. You know, like I said, last week I asked about, you know, does age, does education matter? What are some of the things that matter to them? Because, I mean, we discuss what matters to us, you know, plenty of times. And we talk about it all the time. But I never hear what a male wants, because we always look at the male as the enemy, in a sense. You know, forgive my choice of words, but that's sometimes how we view men. And, you know, not all men are enemies or dogs, or, you know what I mean? So I want to find out from them what do they like? What matters to them? That's as simple as that.
I don't think it's that simple, because in different stages of life, you're looking for different things. So, you know, some people at certain point, if they're not in the stage where they want to get married or settle down, they might not be looking for the same things, or certain things might not matter because they're not looking for longevity. They're just looking for the moment. So, and for depending on culture, you might be looking for something completely different than another person. And I think it goes the same for men and women. And I think for the most part, most men and women are looking for the same things on the basic level.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. The reason why I said it's simple is that because that's just the question that I want answered.
Okay.
If they could be able to answer that for me, because that's what I want to discuss. I just want to discuss what matters. Like, it could be basic. I don't care how basic or how difficult or how, you know, whatever it is, I still want to know. If it's just they want to have somebody that they can date for a year and that's it, I want to know that. If they just want somebody that, you know, that they're just looking for, if they are looking for a wife, I want to know that. You know, I want to know just from a few men, you know, for, you know, I know we can't talk to everybody, but whoever is able to discuss and talk about what their interests are, where does it lie for them at the age that they're in, at the life that they're living, all of that. How does that tie into how they view a female, or how they view a person that they're interested in?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, did you have anything that you wanted to expound upon? No, you can't be quiet on me now. Last week we were going at it, so I need some people to call in. If they have something to discuss, please do. Stacey, I know you're on here.
I most am, but
now last week you were going. I want you to be just as on fire as you were last week.
I guess, you know, each week brings different issues in it. I haven't put much thought into it, so
yeah.
I don't really have much to say this week.
Well, I need some of the callers that were on last week or ones that are listening right now to please call in. Let me know what you think or how you feel about this. You know, are we digging in too deep? I don't think we are, because I feel like this is not ever discussed amongst men and women. This is discussed, you know, amongst women all the time, and you know, and maybe men do it too, but we never hear about it. We never know what they're talking about. We never know what's going on, because I feel like if we had that, maybe we can cut down on a lot of not being interested in the cheating or whatever, or just having that lack of communication amongst them. So I think that that would help build some relationships. And, you know, I have to give it up again to Hill Hopper. He knew what he was doing when he wrote the book, and I'm really hoping that, you know, people do check out his book, because they could learn a lot. I know I learned a lot. It was enlightening. So it's definitely worth reading. But I'm going to go into another song, and maybe by the end of the song we'll have another caller on the line. So I'm going to play a song by one of my favorite singers, Layla Hathaway, and it's called Let Go.
Let go, fire, shine. Let go, fire,
All right, y'all. That was Layla Hathaway with Let Go. It seems that we have lost Stacey Ann as well. I'm sure she will be back to join us. So, forgive me with all the songs, but I have a good lineup anyway, so I'll play my songs until I get my callers on the line. So here's NDRE with Yellow.
Every time I hear you say hello, all I see is yellow, like daisies in the meadow. And I just thought you should know that every time you go away, my yellow turns to gray. What I'm trying to say is it shouldn't be this way. And I need you to stay. Stay with me in the
yellow.
Stay with me in the
yellow.
Stay with me in the
yellow.
Ooh, I need you to stay. Stay with me in the
yellow.
Oh, stay with me in the
yellow.
Stay with me in the
yellow.
Oh, oh, oh. Wait for me. I get green with envy. Wondering where you could be. If this ain't how it should be. But you know I'm a Georgia peach.
I've been walking in the same way as I do, missing out the cracks in the pavement and tutting my heel and strutting my feet. Is there any anything I can do for you, dear? Is there anyone I could call? No one, thank you, please, madame. I ain't lost, just wondering. From my hometown, Mayhem. Everybody in short skirts, shorts and shades. I like it in the city when two worlds collide. Get the people and the government, everybody taking different sides. Shows that we ain't gonna stand shit. Shows that we are united. Shows that we ain't gonna take it. Shows that we ain't gonna stand shit. Shows that we are united. Run my hometown, Mayhem Marines, I pray.
Your hair down, get up off your
Welcome back. That was Dwele with Let Your Hair Down. It seems that we do have another caller on the line. I know we lost Stacey Ann. I'm not sure what happened to her, but I'm sure she will call back in. Well, will the caller introduce themselves, please?
Hi, this is Mike from Upper Marlboro, Maryland.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm good.
All right. Well, glad to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining me. Well, we were basically talking before Stacey Ann actually hung up. We were discussing just relationships among African American men and women, and just this stems from the book that Hill Harper wrote in regards to black men and women building relationships and loving and trusting relationships. And I think what I wanted to do was I wanted to have just a balance of men and women on this show to discuss some of the things that never gets discussed among African American men and women. And and what I wanted to get into was more of what matters most, you know, what matters to men when it does come to relationships, and what matters to women. I know a lot of women, we discuss this amongst ourselves all the time, but we never sometimes hear a male's point of view and a male's perspective, and I wanted to get more of that. So I know you said you listened to the last show last weekend, and this is more of just a part two of that. Now, did you have anything that you could think of that you remember us discussing that you might have wanted to talk about, or maybe I can just go into when it comes to relationships, what matters to you? We can go either way. It's just what you care to discuss.
Okay, we can go into relationships and what it matters to me and all.
Okay.
I'll be fine.
Okay, great. Well, you can go into that, you know, as far as what are some of the things, is it maybe age, education, what are some of the things that you definitely don't take lightly when it's come to searching for someone, or, you know, having that interest in someone?
Well, I mean, I just finished up at Liberty University, so I believe that education, you know, is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a college degree doesn't make someone intelligent. So, you know, I value intelligence. Just someone that's, you know, just fun to be around, you know, someone that doesn't have a problem with your family members, you know, because that's part of the package with me. I'm very, you know, family oriented. So
mm-hmm.
It's not to say that, you know, anything's wrong with my family. I mean, but, you know,
right.
Everyone has that uncle, you know, in their family, you know.
Yeah, the crazy uncle.
Right, so. That comes with it. It's part of the package, in other words, you know. So someone that's someone that's beautiful on the inside. I really don't get caught up into looks, and from personal experience, you know, the ones, if you get caught up in looks too much, sometimes you end up with the worst situations and all, because you're trying to make stuff work and it's not really there. And because
mm-hmm.
someone looks good, you kind of like, you try to hang in there,
Right.
Sometimes it doesn't always work. So someone with a good heart inside, you know.
Now, do you have any things that you know you cannot tolerate? You know, things that, you know, if it were to be presented to you, you know that you will be looking the other way. Things that you know that will matter for you, you know, that you will not be able to deal with if it was presented.
Really, just someone that's not truthful. I think a lot of times, I think in relationships, it's kind of like when you're young, you fall in love or you think you're in love, and you kind of like gullible, you know, with anything. You know, you believe every word that person says, and, you know, once you find out that you've been lied to, whatever, the next relationship you get into, you got your guards up, kind of. And a lot of times, I mean, I guess the older you get, the more you have, you have your guards up or whatever. So you don't let people know everything about you. So for me, it's someone that is truthful. If you're not truthful and I can't trust you, then most likely the relationship is not going to go anywhere, you know?
Right, right. Well, I'm going to pause right there. Looks like I have another caller that just called in. Will the next caller introduce himself, please?
Hello, this is Sisney G. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us. I'm sure you probably heard some of the stuff that we were talking about. And basically, like I said, this is a continuation of last week's conversation in regards to Hill Harper's book, The Conversation, and how Black women and men can build trusting and loving relationships. And I'm talking to Mike, a.k.a. Revelations 313 on Twitter. yes. So he was discussing some of the things that he, you know, that what matters to him in a relationship and some of the things that he will not tolerate when it comes to relationships. And I want to get, you know, definitely get more into that and to get, you know, his perspective on a few things, you know, in regards to that. Did you have anything that you wanted to touch on from last week or that you wanted to talk about, Disney?
I'm trying to think. No, I don't think so. Not as of yet.
I guess
who
just
else is on the line, Mike?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I said, who else is on the line besides Mike?
It's just Mike and me.
Okay.
We did have Stacey Ann on the line, but we lost her. I'm not sure what happened. So hopefully she'll come back to us, you know. So
yeah,
right now it's just us.
I guess I can say I definitely agree with Mike about being truthful, and that's very important because you can fall in love with who you think the person is because that's who they have revealed to you that they are, and then, you know, it's not your fault because you're like, oh, I really love this person. This is the person that they have presented, and then when you found out it's all a lie or, you know, they fabricated this here, you know, in one place or the other, then it's like, okay, what do I do now? Because then you're in love, or like you say, you think you're in love, but really you aren't because they aren't the person that they said they were in the first place. So then it's like, now what do you do?
Let me ask any of you this. Have you all experienced that kind of thing where you felt, I mean, and Mike, you're definitely welcome. I know this kind of happens sometimes among females, but you're welcome to say that. But have you ever gotten so caught up into what that person was saying that you kind of glossed over some of the things that you know you wouldn't even tolerate?
Yeah, I guess I would say so, you know. I would. goodness, I had a flashback for a second. it was a person that I was dating and all. And I knew the person well because we were, teenagers growing up in the church and all. And, I knew everything about this person, so I thought, And it was just so much to it. I think when we decided to go, our separate way or whatever, she was actually living with her her friend, so she said, And come to find out, it was more to it than that. This was a person that, had let her in, and, and I remember her telling me, she was like, oh, you don't have nothing to worry about, But, I'm not that, simple-minded or whatever, so, I just, I kind of let it ride out or whatever. And what happened was when, I had broke up with her or whatever, I think it was like a couple of weeks later, because she had called and said, what she asked, was there a chance for us to get back together? And I told her no, because I remember, even though she had children or whatever, the children weren't, they weren't a problem. It was just her, she just wasn't mature, in a lot of areas. And, I told her no or whatever, and then she actually eloped. And she didn't even, tell me about it. And because, I got to the point, when you move on from someone or something, you're content about it, it's not going to hurt you, So, she didn't even tell me. Matter of fact, one of the guys from my church was like, told her, congratulations, whatever. She kind of walked out the room. Whatever, like she was embarrassed about, she was murdered. And I guess I was more upset that she didn't tell me, because I thought we were good enough friends, at least, for her to mention that.
Right.
So, it's one of those things you just go through and just keep going with it, So.
So in a sense, you thought you knew who she was, but you didn't.
Exactly, yeah. Because we knew each other for a long time.
Right.
So.
Okay, and so, you actually touched on something that I also wanted to talk about, but Sifney, did you have anything, did you want to answer that?
Well, that's happened to me before. As well, you're friends first, so you already feel a connection with someone, and then I guess that sometimes does not translate into the relationship that you thought it was going to be. Well, later on when it's revealed to you, that is, because at first you're going into it, you wouldn't know, because I don't think you would go into something if you just knew it wasn't going to work. And then you. I guess once you love that person, then you're more apt to say, well, I'll compromise in this, because you think the love that you have is unconditional. When usually, I think if the person stepped into the door for the first time, you never met them, and they said, "This is who I am," then you would say, "Okay, keep going." But when you already know the person, you love them, and you say, "Well, okay, I'll compromise in this area or that area, or let's make it work." Just because of how much you care for that person, when if you step back and really took the person at face value for what they were right now, you probably would not, pursue it or want to keep it going. And sometimes I think when you get so caught up in that, God won't let you continue in it. Something will happen where, because in my situation, someone broke up with me, and that is such a blessing. I was hurt, and everything and couldn't eat sometimes, but when I look back on it, because I wasn't strong enough to do it, God had to do it in whatever way, and I thank him for it, because I was not strong enough to get out of it myself, knowing that this is not who I really love, because they aren't who I thought they were, you know.
Right.
And, oh, they, you know, being in love with the potential, and I can see the calling God had on his life, but if the person doesn't see it, or the person doesn't want it at that time, what can you do about it? So
right.
I think when you have a close enough relationship with God, you know, he won't allow you or allow that to continue, and he won't do anything to hurt you. So once I learned that, and I always say, you know, what God has for me is for me, so whatever I don't have, God doesn't have it for me, whether it's at that time or whatever it is. So, you know, when things come and go, I just have to say, you know, well, Lord, I thank you, because I may not be able to see it right now, but, you know, he can see all things. So,
yeah,
I've been there.
I wanted to expand upon that. You know, I think a lot of times in relationships, kind of you're looking for love. You know that God loves you, you know what I mean? But it's kind of like you're looking for love. So when someone says, I love you, it gets your attention, you know. I feel that, you know, females, you know, are more emotional, you know, and, you know, can, you know, get more attached. And I think I was with the caller last week. His name was Michael, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he had said something about, you know, a guy is only going to I think he said something about a female. A guy is going to go as far as a female let him.
Right, right. Yeah.
I believe that's true. I believe that's totally true. We can take it back from, you know, and we can take it back to the Bible, really, because it's like when God joined, you know, Adam and Eve together.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know, be fruitful and multiply, you know.
Right.
And the whole purpose of that, the union of Adam and Eve, was so that the children, and this is my opinion, so that the children can see how a married couple is supposed to act in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so important. You know, not a lot of children see that nowadays. They see it, but the mother's in one home and the father's in another home. And, you know, that's not the way that God ordained it, you know, and it's a lot of confusion. And especially
right.
when the father's not in the picture, you know. So when a guy comes to a female and say, I love you, or I think you look good, whatever, it's going to get her attention, you know. And I feel that she will probably be more attached to that person, you know, and whatever flaws that person may have, she may look past them. And the same way for guys, too, you know. It's like,
yeah.
For instance, with my friend, it was like I knew about her because from what people were telling me, but I'm the type of person where, you know, I don't look at, I mean, I try to go, when I meet somebody, I try to go into the relationship as, it, you know, being unconditional, and I don't judge you on what you did, you know, because I have, you know, there's things in my life that I've done that you can probably pull my card on, you know, so I don't judge anyone. And I think that's one thing about me that, you know, I really like, you know. But, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, you get too involved in situations where it's not necessarily God directing you. It's you going by what you feel. It's how you feel, and that's really not in a spiritual thing, but more of a physical thing, you know. So, you got to be very careful with that.
Wow. Well, I want to stop there and welcome another caller. Would the caller state their name and introduce themselves, please? Hello?
Hey, this is Jocelyn.
Oh, hi, Jocelyn. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Well, nothing much. We're just discussing the relationships, and I'm sure I've talked to you a little bit about that, so you kind of know what the topic is. We're just discussing relationships among African-American men and women and building trusting and loving relationships. And we just, Mike and Sissy are on the line, and Mike was just discussing some of the, just the implications and the things that go on in relationships and how sometimes we can gloss over things that we see in another person, though we may see them firsthand, but, you know, we might look over that because we like the person so much or whatever condition, you know, you have. But I did want to ask Mike, I know he mentioned that the young lady he was involved with, you know, before had children. So I guess, how do you feel? It sounds like you're okay with that, but, were there some, I guess, reasons behind why you feel that, you know, you don't mind dating someone who has children? So I take it that's not exactly like a preference, you know, or the person not having kids is not like a preference for you. So how did you come to that conclusion?
Well, I mean, I'm 31, so it's kind of like people my age, they have, they were married.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't married, they have children. And regardless of how many children they have, I mean, if you love that person, the children are a part of the package. So I guess it's just one of those situations where I'm kind of used to it at my age, you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's not, you know, my preference is someone with no children, but if they do have children, you know, that's something that I have to deal with. And it is something that you have to, you have to know about, and you have to be prepared for it, because there's situations where, you know, women, they are still involved with the children's father, you know, whether it's on a weekend type of thing or whatever, you know, and there's always that chance of you could be, you know, chilling with your friend and all of a sudden this guy comes out of nowhere, you know. It's a situation that you have to deal with, you know. And also with me, I work with children, so it's kind of like, you know, it doesn't, I'm not going to say because I'm so used to it, but, you know, I've been working with kids for so long. It's just, you know, I know how to work with them. I work with children with learning disabilities and, you know, ADHD and stuff like that. And it's just like, once you start learning about it as a teacher, you know, mm-hmm. you know how to deal with children, you know, who may have a situation, so.
Right. Well, I want to put this question out there, and anyone could answer this question. And this is, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to have this. But why do you think men and women just don't communicate some of these things, you know, the things that we're discussing right now? And I'm sure, you know, this may be a different case for other people or just for you guys. But why is that such a problem? And the reason why I ask that, because there's got to be a problem for someone to take the time and write a book about it. So there's something going on within the Black community amongst the men and the women. So I guess, where do you think the problem lies, or is it communication, or is it more than just that? Can anybody, like, kind of touch on that?
I would say a lot of times people aren't honest with themselves. I mean, it starts there to me. If you aren't truthful and really know who it is you are, or comfortable with it is who you are, then you're going to be more apt to not be truthful with someone else about who you are. If you are, let's say, if you want to paint this picture and or be in denial that, okay, I have an issue here, or because some people have issues and they really don't think they have issues, so they don't think it's important enough to discuss. So that could be a reason, you know, when a person may be like, I think that's an issue. That's something that you need to present, or that's a preference that's important enough that someone else should know about, you know, or either a lot of people, it's how they grow up. I mean, when I was in a relationship, that his family doesn't communicate a lot, so he may not know that it's important to communicate certain things. You know, some things aren't even a, I'm going to hold this back from you. Sometimes it's just not important to them because they weren't taught that it was important. You know, my family, we communicate a lot. So a person may say, oh, my gosh, she's extra clingy. She communicates a lot, when that's all that I know. You know, and it may not be a clingy situation. It's just that I'm open, I talk, let's talk about this, what's going on, you know, just in general. So it could be, I think, a combination of things. And then, you know, writing books like this, when a person shows how important it is, then it makes you look at yourself or see, you know, have I been doing this, or where can I improve in certain areas, and be upfront and, you know, at the beginning.
I agree. Does anybody else have anything to say to that? Anybody? I mean, if you don't have anything to say, that's fine. But, I mean, I ask that question because I feel like that's one of the things that you know, that does is missing. And like Sisney said, I believe honesty is probably one thing, being honest with yourself about it, because I know Hill Harper, in this book, he does talk about himself a lot and being honest with him, because he talked about being scared, because what he's done in the past is sabotage relationships before they even happen. You know, he may start dating a female knowing that, you know, he's interested. However, there's still some things that he refuses to let go of, that, you know, even though she may not even be there yet, he just sabotaged the whole relationship just because he was afraid that he might end up there. And that's why I asked that question, because, you know, he was being honest. He might not have ever told someone that, but this book allowed him to be honest with himself and his experiences. So I asked that to say, like, you know, why, you know, is that a problem? You know, is that what it is? Is it just being honest with themselves, or is it just, you know, I mean, anything? Like, why is this such a problem?
Well, I definitely think that being honest with yourself is extremely important. I mean, once you find yourself, and once you know who you are, and once you are, I truly believe that once you are content in who you are and all, then you can be able to, when you get in a relationship or whatever, it's good to find somebody that knows who they are. Because if it's, I think my pastor talked about it, like two halves trying to make a whole, you know, that's not going to work. Because eventually the person that's trying to, you know, trying to make themselves whole is going to drain you, and you're going to try to drain them. And it's not going to work. It's going to be very stressful. So as far as the, you know, the communication part, that's extremely, you know, important to me. Because I'm considering myself a, you know, analytical person. I'm, you know, just if you tell me about it, I'll be able to process it. So, you know, communication is important. You know, with me, I think I get it, you know, from more so my mother than my dad. My dad, you know, he's like me. We're both introverted, you know. And my father's way in, communication, when I was growing up, I was like, you know, I didn't think we had a good relationship, but, you know, as I got older, I realized that not everyone's going to be someone to communicate with or whatever, but, you know, he was always there if I had a problem. My mom, on the other hand, communication was very important to her. You know, that she was able to, you know, she had a stressful day at work. She was able to vent and talk about it. And, you know, it was those, whatever. But to me, you know, communication is definitely important. I think it's the lack of communication along with a host of other things, you know, other reasons why, you know, people are not, you know, getting along, whatever.
Okay. Well, I mean, I believe that, you know, it does stem from a lot of things. And like I said, that I think sometimes, you know, as Black men and women, I think, and this is just my opinion, and this is more so towards the men, I feel like men sometimes are afraid of what could happen, whether it's good or bad. I think men are sometimes afraid of falling in love, especially if they feel like they're not ready to get to that level of possibly marriage or something. And that to me, that's just from experience. I feel like sometimes people do sabotage relationships just because they're afraid of what might happen. So I definitely agree with what Hill Harper does talk about in the book, because it happens too often. It happens way too often. And there's a reason why women get so caught up and we get so emotional, and we have so much emotions that come out. And it seems like men sometimes are emotionless, but we know that's not the case, but that's what sometimes we see. And I want to get down, like, I want to get to, you know, why, you know, why can't it be, you know, where we get to see the emotions from the men, where they can be honest and not try to sabotage a relationship. And I know that doesn't go for all men, but, you know, there's a large percent of men that do that, you know, hence the reason why this book is even relevant to the conversation. So did anybody want to expound on that?
Oh, why men don't communicate?
Well, emotions, honesty, and I mean, I know you can only speak for yourself, but I mean, we have so many dealings with men who, you know, and I'm just speaking on just women in general, you know, we deal with those kind of men. We never see the ones, or, you know, the ones that don't have that kind of problem, you know. So I'm just curious. This is just me putting that out there.
Maybe, okay. Well, maybe it's the persona that a man shows towards a woman that may have attracted that woman towards that man. Maybe he's a cool person or whatever. Maybe he was laid back or whatever. So I don't know. I think it has to deal with you know, how you were raised and all. I'll give you an example. I told you I work with children, and
right.
Sometimes children, they talk a lot, you know, especially when I'm trying to teach a lesson. So it's been times where I've talked to the parent, and the parent would talk to me for like 10 minutes, 10 straight minutes of why a child did talk or why that child is that way. And I'm saying to myself, okay, I see where the child gets it from. Because, you know, that's, you know, communication is something that's vital in that house. You know, I gave you the example of my dad. You know, my dad, his father died when he was 13. So basically it was just him and, you know, my grandmother. And my grandmother wasn't, she kind of like let him, you know, do his own thing. You know, it was really no sit down and, you know, bonding and what have you. So it was kind of like when he, you know, became, you know, a husband, you know, he still brought that same, the same thing into, you know, his new family and all. And, you know, growing up as a child, I was like, you know, what is I can do for him to communicate with me more? And I noticed that he liked football. So I got into, you know, watching football and what have you. And, you know, that's why I was able to communicate with him. So it was a common interest type of thing. You know, sometimes when you're talking about something that, you know, someone doesn't know anything about or someone's not interested in, people can lose interest. But it's more of a, I think it has to be a compromise, really. You know, it can be whatever. If you like whatever and I like sports and all, we have to try to meet each other halfway. You know, at least keep the, at least keep the conversations, you know, going. You know, it's, I think it's just that, well, you just have to find, you have to, sometimes you have to dig deep to try to find out what's going on and try to get someone to communicate with stuff. But I truly feel that it's how you were raised, you know. And if your house wasn't very talkative, everyone went into their own room and shut their door and whatever, most likely you're going to probably have that same way when you go into a relationship. It's not necessarily that person's fault.
You know, right.
It's something they probably used to, you know. So.
Well, I mean.
That's my perspective on it. So.
Does anybody else have anything to say about that? I mean, I know this is something that we talk about all the time, so I know someone has something to say.
Well, this is Jocelyn. I do have something to say. I just kind of have my phone on mute because I'm by the street, so I didn't want you guys to hear all that. But I think that it's this the same question, but I just wanted to come from a different perspective that maybe what could we as women do to maybe cause men to open up without seeming, you know, too pushy or too whatever. Like, I know, like, Maya expresses and, sorry, what's the other girl's name? Nikki, sorry. And Nikki was talking about how sometimes, you know, guys take the way that you are, you know, out of proportion sometimes, because sometimes they'll say, oh, well, she's too clingy, she's too whatever. And for yourself, you're just like, well, I just like to communicate. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what's up with you. But then I know you said it's all about, you know, how people are raised. But I guess, as always, you can only speak for yourself. What would you say, Michael, you kind of not necessarily expect from a woman, but you would like to hear from, you know, a woman? No, I didn't see it. What would you expect from a woman, you know, to maybe cause you to open up? I know you talked about maybe showing interest in some of the things that you like, but what else? Because sometimes what happens when you just run out of subjects, you're like, okay, well, I done tried everything. And it's obvious, you know, he ain't trying to open up, so what do I do at this point, you know?
Right. I think, I mean, me personally, I don't like anyone that goes, you know, on and on about, you know, their problems, their situations. You know, coming from, you know, a black man's perspective, you know, I have my issues too, you know, and I've gone through some stuff too. So I think really, you know, with men, we have, you know, very big egos. You know, we like to, you know, be stroked. We like to be pampered and what have you. So sometimes if you come in from your side of the story, you know, what you've been through and stuff like that all the time, that may be a turnoff. And sometimes, you know, like I said, you know, it's a compromise thing. You know, you just have to maybe ask, you know, that person how their day was or whatever, you know. and I can lead, you know, into how your day went or whatever. Because naturally, if you ask somebody how their day was, you know, it's got to be on the other side. You know, you got to ask that person as well. So, you know, I mean, you know, it's just, I guess when you know a person and all, and, you know, you just kind of know how to, you know, find stuff, you know. People that are compatible, they have common interests and what have you, and, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's just kind of one of those things where you just have to know that person better, and all. And the only way to know the person better is through communication and trying to find some type of common ground and all. But like I said, you know, guys, I mean, we have big egos, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, we want to, you know, have or be able to, you know, talk about our problems, our situations, and what have you.
Okay. Well, did Jocelyn, did you want to touch on it again? Because I actually have another caller here. So
I was going to kind of say one little thing. I know we're talking about the relationship between a man and a woman, but in general, just in learning who a person is, you can see that in, I know you probably have boys that you hang with or your girls that you hang with. It's like, Some female friends that I have, I'm like, oh my gosh, if you were a boy, you would just really get on my nerves, you know, or my male friends is just like, oh my goodness. So I don't think, you know, and we should take it too personal sometimes in trying, when we're trying to find a mate, you know, in general, it's just learning who that person is, you know, and who they really are. Because, I mean, I find the same thing with just friends that I have in general. You know, about the type of person that they are, or people that you learn that, okay, I have to stay away from, or this is the person that I want to have around, this is the person I can pray with, this is the person that, okay, I don't know how we became friends. You know, so just looking at people and your relationships in a whole, you kind of can see different things in people. And it may not just be, you know, when you date a person, oh, they don't want to communicate with me. Because I have girlfriends that I call and, you know, hey, how you doing? And sometimes they just blab on, you know, I have this is my issue. Can you help me with this? Can you help me with this? And, you know, you could have, I had a situation, I just had surgery, or just found out that I had to have surgery. And this girl was talking to me about, oh, I just met this boy, and what do you think I should do? And I'm like, did you hear me? Did you just hear that I said that I had to have surgery? You know, so I think it just goes to people all around, just the type of person that you are. Are you selfish? Are you not? You know, it may not just be a guy-girl thing. Some people just, that's who they are. And if we don't like it, I think we have a choice to say, you aren't the person for me.
Very true. I hate to just, like, to pause or interrupt or whatever because the conversation, but I did want to have the person that just called in to introduce themselves.
Oh, hello?
Yes.
Hey, girl, it's Danny Wright. It's Danielle calling
Hi,
in.
Well, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. We have Revelations 3:13, Mike, on the show, and Sisney G, Golden Virtuous, on the show, and Jocelyn, you're never on Twitter. So what is your Twitter name? Jocelyn? I'm not sure what happened to her. Is she on? Okay. Well, Danny, we're actually just discussing relationships, like I said, amongst black men and women and how to build trusting and loving relationships. And so, you know, did you – I know you – I've just read a lot of your tweets, and I know you've talked about that a couple times, and I wanted to know what are some of your viewpoints and perspectives on why there is a lack of that build of trusting and loving relationships among black men and women when it comes to relationships.
It's a really good topic, and this is really interesting to me. last night I received an email from one of my friends, and she thought it would be, you know, motivating to let me know there's a new study from Yale about how black women who, the higher the education we have, the less likely we are to be married by the age of 45 in comparison to our white counterparts. And I don't find it to be motivational at all. And it's a real issue. It's not just statistics anymore because we're living it. And I like that you guys are talking about this right now. You know, a lot of times, somebody quoted this on Twitter today, a lot of times people are single because they're looking for perfection, even though they themselves are imperfect. And that's something we have to continually remind ourselves, especially in the black community, I feel, because a lot of times we are quick to judge or quick to point the finger. We're all imperfect. However, as an educated black woman working on my graduate degree, I don't want to have to, you know, I don't want to have to sacrifice that. I want to marry someone with the same educational status as myself. So I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling right now. I just joined the conversation, so I only got to hear a little bit of what you guys were talking about. So I don't want to take away from that. But basically, I'm...
Yeah, you're on the right, so...
Oh, okay.
That was a very interesting study, though. Who did the study? Yale?
Yeah. Well, I've heard these statistics before, but the newest study, she said, was in Yale, from Yale. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And you know what? My mom, she received her doctor's degree from a Christian university, but... you know, she got her master's from Bowie, and she was telling me, I don't know if she was trying to play matchmaker or whatever, because, you know, I had just, you know, got into school or whatever, and, you know, a lot of her friends, they had the same dilemma. They were educating themselves, and they could not, or they had a hard time finding, you know, black men or whatever. A lot of the black men that were in school were, you know, not, you know, from here. They were, you know, African Americans, you know, literal,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, my mom, she said she, some of her friends, you know, dated, you know, African men, and all,
okay.
Or they dated, you know, out of their race because, you know, it's very, you know, hard and difficult. That's why, you know, from at the beginning of the show, I said, you know, that's important to me because, you know, I'm educating myself, you know, but I would like, you know, a person to be intelligent and doesn't have to necessarily, you don't have to go to graduate from a four-year school, you know, but, you know, that's what I'm looking for, you know, so, yeah, it's difficult because when you go into the classrooms, you know, even in the HBCUs, the historically black colleges and universities, you know, there's a lot of black men that are, you know, dropping out and what have you. So, you know, it's very difficult, you know.
Well, another part of the study said that a lot of men, black men, based on these statistics, will more than likely marry outside of their race, whereas a lot of black women are more than willing to marry under their educational level. And I find that to be true. A lot of black women, I don't know if you talked about this, but I've met a lot of black women who do not want to date outside of their race. So I don't know if that's something that you guys talked about, but I personally... you know, being interracial, my mother's white, my father's black, I don't have an issue with it, but I know a lot of people do. So that could be another problem or another thing kind of standing in the way.
And this is in regards to just the way you view it, or?
What do you mean? No, meaning it could be another reason why. You know, people aren't getting together, you know, people from African American culture aren't getting together because a majority of black men are willing to go outside the race.
I got you. Okay. And you know what, that's another thing that I know that Phil Harper discusses in that book, you know, where a lot of men feel like they've been attacked, or you know, if they choose to go outside of their race, or if a African American woman decides to go outside of their race, you know, just that's one of I guess the reasons that they talk. You know, they talk about the reasons why Black men and women don't get together because of some of those issues, which I refuse to believe, because I think, in a sense, it's a cop-out for either party. If it's a female or a woman, or a male, but I think there's more issues behind it that I feel like, you know, they just don't say, you know, because we have our dislikes and we have our likes. You know, it's what matters to us, and that was the question that I put out there originally, you know, because, you know, I want to know what matters to men when it comes to a relationship, or when they're attracted to someone. What do they value? Is it, you know, is it age? Is it education? Is it the way they look? Do they have to have a different kind of look? You know, is it any of those things? And, you know, the same goes for a female. I just know that I talk to a lot of females about this, and I hardly talk to males about this. I never can get a male's perspective. And so that was my reasoning of putting this out there and wanting to kind of dig a little deeper on, you know, why it's such a, in a sense, I want to say a pandemic, just amongst just the African American culture itself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to touch on that?
I agree with you. You know, not wanting to accept that and it being a cop out. I'm sorry. Said a lot of good stuff. I'm like trying to process it, and it sounded like you guys were getting into something good before I came on. If you want to like maybe catch me up to what was going on before that, or I don't know if Mike has something to say. Where is Tiffany? She's real quiet right now.
Is she there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Hello.
Is Jocelyn still on the line? I see that she is, but
yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm just, like I said before, I'm still like out and about, so I don't want you guys to hear the hustle and bustle of the street. So.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Okay. Well, anytime you want to touch in, we do have 28 minutes left in the show. Just letting everybody know. So, if there's anything else that you know, that, you know, I mean, I basically caught you up, Danielle, because before you got on, we were just basically, you know, just discussing, you know, what, you know, as far as relationships, it's not just among men and women, but just even among friends and, you know, just relationships anyway with anybody. Whether it's another female or another male or what have you. And so we were on that topic. So we're kind of – there's really no, like, strategic pattern we're trying to go in. So you can – if you have something to say about whatever, you know, that's fine, you know, about whatever we're
talking about. I caught somebody talking about how sometimes she'll be trying to speak to someone about her feelings or whatever, and she made the comment that one of her friends, after telling her something serious, she, like, totally changed the subject about some guy. And I thought that was funny because that happens to me a lot. Oftentimes I feel like I'm a very loyal and dedicated friend, and I put a lot into my relationships with people. I have a lot of male friends, and even with them, you know, I put a lot of myself into these relationships. And too often, you know, sometimes you get disappointed because you're not getting what you're giving. Sometimes there's a disconnect. And I myself, you know, up until probably recently, I feel like I get along better with men.
as far as friendships are concerned, just because I feel like there's less drama involved. And I don't know if that's something you guys talked about, but just growing up and even as an adult, you know, in my 20s, now I'm 26, and I just feel like a lot of times when I have female friends, there's just a lot of drama around that relationship. Whereas, you know, with my male friends, I feel like there's less commitment, less drama, and there's just more room for that natural, organic, you know, let's talk about stuff, what are you doing, what's going on with you. But then some people might say, on the other hand, that male-female friendships are complicated because there's that element of attraction there. So that could be difficult, too, if you don't set up boundaries or if that's just something that you don't ever talk about. Like my best friend Michael, who is Tiffany's cousin, who was on the show last weekend, I believe. You know, people always look at our relationship and they're like, you know, why aren't you guys dating, blah, blah, blah. But it's just, it's not like that. He has a girlfriend and she's wonderful. And we set up boundaries from the beginning, you know, boundaries that's something that a healthy relationship has to have. If we're talking about relationships, Christian or not, you need to have boundaries. Even if it's female-female, you know, if it's a relationship, you need to set up boundaries because if you don't, you're going to end up in a tough situation down the road because you didn't set up, you know, your concerns or your wants or your dislikes up front. It's really important. And a lot of times people don't want to have that conversation, and that's a problem. I think that's something that's keeping people out of good relationships. They don't want to have that boundaries conversation. So
I agree with that. I agree. Setting boundaries is very important. you know, I was talking about my friend earlier, whatever, and I think I said to her, I think it's more of common sense of, you know, things to do and things not to do, whatever, but at the same time, it's good to put it out there on the table. So a person, if they really, you know, feeling you or whatever, you know, if they want to be, you know, in the relationship, they know up front what it's going to take, you know, to make it work or try to make it work anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's very important then.
Does anybody else have anything to say? No one?
On the education issue. I went to University of Florida, go Gators.
Go Gators.
But you're in an atmosphere where, okay, we're all in school, so there was no problem in finding anybody educated. My thing was the other issue, are you saved? Okay, do you just drink all the time and go out and party? So that took out 95% of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the biggest thing to me is not just education. You know, it's that first, of course. But, you know, I think even if that, I mean, it's hard for me to take myself out of that, but even if that wasn't the type of person I was looking for, it's still the mentality of, and maturity level of some of these individuals just was not there. I mean, I met guys that got 1600s, 1550s on the SAT, but, I mean, just mentally immature. it's like, oh, my gosh, are you serious? You know, and then like Mike was saying, then you get a chance to meet someone's parents, and you see, ah, that's where you get it from. Mm-hmm. You know, it just kind of brings it all together. You know, it's like, that's why you think like that. Or, so I don't know, I think, you know, with education, it's the chemistry that goes along with it as well. I mean, I do want someone who, I would say, values education, just because being around individuals who are educated, very smart, I learned that they still don't have it either a lot of times. But just, you know, what type of person are you? Did you just not go just because you didn't value it, didn't see the importance of it, or was it because you couldn't afford it, but, you know, that's still a desire of yours? Or if you would have children, you would still want to instill that in them. You know, because there are different situations why, you know, someone may not be where they are. Just like I have a bachelor's degree. If someone out there is looking for someone with a master's, I don't have that yet. So if I don't get that until I'm 30 and he passed me by because I don't have a master's, you know, I'm a good person. I'm saved. I love the Lord. So that should take precedent over that. You know, I would hope that I could be able to have a good conversation with the person without having a master's degree, just as well as, you know, if someone didn't have the same level of degree I had, you know, what type of person are you first? Can we take care of the household even if I make more? And at this point, I have a degree, and I'm still not making what my cousin who dropped out of high school is making, you know. He's younger than me, so it depends. You know, so can we still have a family and make do? You know, I think, to me, the relationship that he has with the Lord takes precedent over that, just from being around educated people who still were dumb.
I totally agree, and that's one of the factors for me, and that's probably one of the reasons why I'm single now, because I'm just not going to tolerate someone who does not have Christ as, you know, their personal savior. And I say that to say, okay, not someone who just says they're a Christian, but someone who really is living the life of a saved person, and, you know, really honors that. Because I know I've had an experience where I was told that they were, and it comes to find out that it wasn't. They were only trying to please me at the time, because they knew that that was important to me. So, yeah, they're going to say, yeah, I'm saved. I love the Lord and all of that. And they weren't really thinking about all of that at the time. So, to me, I feel like, and that's where it comes in with the honesty. I feel like a lot of men just want to, first they want to, they want to find out where you are, and then, like, later on when they find out that you are being really serious, it's kind of like, okay, it's too late, because first of all, they lied to you first, told you that they were saved, told you that, you know, they follow everything and you know, whatever, and it comes to find out that they were nowhere near close, and they thought they were going to get something that was in the back of their minds, and they never did. So it got way too deep for them. But, you know, I look at those things and I'm like, wow, okay. And that's where I want to find out, like, why men tend to do that. It's kind of like they tend to please that other person just so, you know. And I don't find a lot of men that really do say that they're saved and really do practice that. And again, like I said, I feel like that's one of the reasons why I'm still single. And I will be single until that happens. I will not take just anything coming my way. So, you know, and you know, whether that person is willing to you know, deal with that or to run, I'm okay with them leaving, because it just, to me, that helps me. I don't want you to, you know, just be doing it just because you're trying to please me. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I agree as well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because there's a lot of people in the church who I've heard it called, and I like to call it missionary dating, where you have someone who's completely sold out for God, completely saved, and then you got somebody who's just coming to church and they know about God, but they're not living the Christ lifestyle. And these two people get together, and the person who's more spiritually advanced thinks it's okay, even though they're not equally yoked. There's no biblical backing to that kind of relationship. And it bothers me, because I see a lot of these people walking down the aisle. I know a couple who met this January, got married in July, and now they're in the process of getting divorced. And they're quote-unquote Christians, and that really bothers me, because first of all, here I am, you know, and a lot of my friends living this Christ lifestyle, you know, sold out for God, to the, you know, we're living the celibate life, we're setting up boundaries, we're not going out and getting drunk, you know, we're living biblically, and we are truly waiting for God's divine timing, and that person that God has divinely, you know, going to send for us and is preparing for us. And then you have people over here who are just doing their own thing and thinking it's okay. That bothers me a lot. And also I wanted to point out, when I think it was Sissy talking or somebody, whoever just talked, you were talking about something, and it made me think about how a lot of time, oh, you said even if you make more money, A lot of times in marriages, women are in the power position, and unfortunately, that's not biblically sound either. It's the man who is the head of the house, and a lot of modern women have a problem with that. And that cause, and I don't think there's anything wrong with a woman making more money at all, but it just made me think about this, how the man is in control of the household. He's the head, and a lot of times people don't like that scripture, or they don't like to hear that, or they don't truly understand it, but there's really nothing wrong with submission. You can't have two people in control in your house. You can't. Somebody has to be the head, and if it's the woman, that's got spiritual implication. He's the one who's in charge. If you're married, he's the one who's spiritually going to be in charge of you when you meet with God, you know? So these are some things that were going through my head when you guys were talking.
I'm sorry to you all. It's also as that person follow Christ, too. You know, if they're not following Christ, then, you know, it's really going to be a problem, you know? So.
Right.
You mean if the husband isn't following Christ? Exactly. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Because you can't submit to someone who isn't totally sold out to God.
Right. And that has to be done prior to the marriage. So by the time if you've gotten a marriage and you realize that he's not where he is, then marriage should not be even in the picture.
Right. So, you know, I've heard about a lot of females that said that I guess they go into the relationship trying to be like superwoman. You know, they say they on fire for the Lord, and the guy that they're dating doesn't go to church, but will go to church to, you know, try to make that person happy.
Mm-hmm.
So when they become, you know, married or whatever, the guy, he'll go to church for the first two Sundays, and then after that, especially football season, you may not see that brother. But, you know, this is just one of those things where, you know, being unequally yoked, you know, and it's very difficult because a lot of people say that they, you know, that they are Christians, but they're not really living a life and all. And at the same time, you can't judge because, you know, you have areas in your life that you're still working on. And I had mentioned it earlier, you know, it's like two halves trying to make a whole, you know, and that's not going to necessarily work all the time, you know. So I think we all have, you know, preferences and what have you as far as looking for someone in a relationship and all. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, there's certain things that you just can't, you know, let go as far as, you know, a person being a certain way. And some things may take compromises, you know, it depends or whatever. But you have to know who you are from the beginning. And in order to, you know, fully know who you are, you have to know God. So, you know, I don't tell people what to do, what have you. You know, I'm just there as a, you know, someone that, you know, someone can talk to. But at the same time, I let them know, you know, if you don't know God, I mean, it's really going to be difficult trying to find yourself. And if you try to find someone else, then both of you are going to be miserable, basically. So.
That's true, and that, you know, and that's why I was glad that Hill Harper even pointed all of this out in the book, because not only did he touch on, you know, some of the reasons why, you know, he had the experiences he had, but he also talked about, you know, the things that some men and some women will not tolerate, or, you know, being celibate and, or, you know, not wanting to have sex in a relationship. And he talks about that. And, you know, there are folks who require that in their relationship, which I will never understand, because I feel like that makes a relationship much harder and difficult, because a lot of the things that probably happen wouldn't happen, you know, like, if we really follow, and I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, if we really understood and followed what Christ is really wanting us to do, a lot of the things that's happening right now in the problems and the pandemics and the things that's going on would not be going on. they come from because we were disobedient. So that's why there's so much, problems going on and so much miscommunication and so many, things that's wrapped up that a lot of people, and it comes from just the world. This isn't something that Christ created. You know, he put things on here for the good, and man just corrupted it in a sense. You know, my choice of words, excuse that. But, I'm just saying that a lot of the things that I'm talking about and that we've been discussing probably wouldn't be a problem if we would have done it the right way. You know, and those are my remarks to all of this, you know, and the reasons why we have these books and we have different, you know, people talking about this stuff is because, you know, if we would have done what we were supposed to do in the first place, we wouldn't even be discussing this right now. You know, does anybody hear me on that?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. That's biblical. And I'm just wondering, you know, since we are in this position, I don't know, what can we do, you know, as young, single, Christian, African-American people, what can we do to make our own situation and perhaps the situation of others better? You know, kind of maybe touch on that. Like, what can we possibly do? I know we all have our own set. We have our beliefs and we have our deal breakers that we were talking about, things that we're looking for in a mate. I think one thing we need to hold strong is our beliefs. You know, one thing that really bothers me is people who are so sold out for Christ and then they walk down the aisle with someone who isn't. It just bothers me. I'm okay alone. Like, yes, do I want to be married? Of course. Do I want to start having a family? Yes. But am I so desperate to do it that I'm willing to settle? Absolutely not, because I want the one that God has created for me. I don't want just anybody. So one thing I know for sure we can do is hold strong to what we say we're going to do. That keeps our Christian witness tight, totally tight and solid. And it's not the easiest thing, but it's a part of our walk. It's what we have to do as we follow our cross, pick up the cross and follow the Lord. I mean, we have to hold strong to our testimony and to what we say we're going to do, or else we just fall back into what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. And another thing that we could do is to just stay in our own lane, not in just the relationship-wise, but even you look at careers. I want what she has. Why don't I have it yet? Or, you know, or what can I do? Or, dang, she has a house and I don't have it yet. Stay in your own lane. It's all in God's timing. Because if we had to say so, you know, we wouldn't have issues, we wouldn't have problems, we wouldn't have anything. So, you know, you never know. Yes, she's married, but you don't know what she's going through in her household. So don't want it so bad that you're willing to, you know, get out of what God's will is for you, jump into your own lane, and then it doesn't work anyway because that's not how he predestined it. You know, so just if it's not yours right now, then it's not meant for you to have it, because he wouldn't, unless it's something that we're doing and we're out of fellowship, that is. But, you know, we'll have what we're told to have in his timing. So just stay in your own lane. Don't look to the left or right. Just look to him, and it'll all happen. And then that's when you'll be content. You'll still have joy because you'll be at peace knowing that, you know, he has it in control, and I'm not doing anything with my own might to try to get this man or this woman. And from a female's perspective, you know, we aren't supposed to be pursuing it anyway. So I'm not sure, you know, how Mike would feel about it, but even with the guy, you still have to be in connection and in line with God to say, Lord, show me who she is, you know, because I can't go up and say, hey, you're my husband, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. But, you know, even from, you know, from a Christian male perspective, just stay in your lane.
Amen. That's right. Mike, did you have any lasting words?
As far as, you know, finding the right person and all, I talked to my friend a while back, and she said she was kind of, you know, tired of dating, and she was almost, you know, she got to the point where she almost just wanted to, you know, give up on, you know, as far as dating and just stay single. And her sisters, they have that that state of mind right now. And she's basically saying that she wants, you know, God to just show the person. It'll cut right through the, you know, dating and what have you, because you know that person is for you, you know. And unfortunately, it's not, you know, like that, you know. So when a man is, let me say it like this. You have to know who you are, and I believe, you know, staying in your lane, that's correct as well. And it's kind of like this as far as a relationship is concerned. You want to be able to give that person your most. It's kind of like going to a store and you want to get a soda, your favorite soda, and you find out that someone has, a lot of people have been drinking out of the soda. But yeah, that's the only soda they have. It's your favorite one or whatever. It's like you look at that soda, you know, differently, you know, and you want to find another soda, you know, and that's just how it is, you know, with relationships and all. I've heard, you know, about females saying that they want to try stuff out first. And guys are the same way, too, in a lot of aspects of relationships. They want to try things out first to see how it fits. And if it doesn't fit, then, you know, it's like a relief to them because they haven't, you know, walked down the aisle with that person and all. But, you know, in due time, if you stay in your lane, like you said, Brown Vintage, you know, God will show you, you know. And that's just, it's just a matter of us. I think we all have, like, I know females talk about their biological clock. Guys have it too, you know. But if you get to the point where you get to a certain age and everything that you set when you were younger, saying, I'm going to get this job at this age, I'm going to get married at this age, I'm going to have children at this age, if all that is not, hasn't fully manifested or whatever, you still, it's good to wait on God in your career and whatever you're doing. And he'll show you, he'll direct you, he'll guide you. And he'll also give you the ability to weed people out that are professing to be someone else, professing to love God, what have you. You know, he'll weed those people out of your lives.
Amen. Well,
Thank you, Lord.
Jocelyn, did you have any lasting words? I know we only have 3 minutes, so did you have anything to say? Jocelyn? Well, I believe she's
I'm here. I'm still here. Sorry. It's taking me a minute to, like, mute and unmute my phone. No, I didn't have anything to say. I think it was a really good show tonight, and it's good to hear both sides. That's all.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining me on the show. I'm glad you took the time to just, you know, join me and give your 2 cents and perspectives. I really appreciate it. Hopefully I have more in the future on different topics, but this topic is everlasting. You know, we'll probably talk about this forever, you know, maybe in a different light. But I do want to thank everybody, and I really appreciate it. So I'm going to leave you all with India Ari. I've played this numerous times on my show, but I just love this song, and I just, you know, it's a short little interlude. So, just again, I want to say thank you, and to everyone, as always, keep it natural.
You love me from the flicker of an eyelash to the furthest star, from the pyramid to the beat of my heart, from a woman in Somalia to a child in Harlem. You created from the same thing. Oh, I'm grateful.
grateful that you created me from the same grain, from the same thing. And I'm grateful that you never cease to amaze me the way you love me.